attention to the burning bush. Then the Lord spoke to him out of the bush. You know, we've got to be careful when we start to recognize, I think something supernatural is happening. I think he's speaking. That we don't just run off and go, well, that was cool. But that we actually take the time to turn and look and give our attention to what we feel the Lord is saying. Lucy, you have a testimony of someone that was healed on Friday. Come and tell us. I love hearing these stories. Give her a hand as she comes.
Thank you, church. So last Friday night we were at a miracle meeting, and I had a word of knowledge for somebody with a broken pinky. And Jill, would you like to come up and just tell us what happened? This is amazing. Just listen. This is amazing. Praise the Lord.
Hello. So last year I had a significant injury on my finger.
Goodness. Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did. And so I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, I know that my pinky needs healing. But I was like, I tolerated it for so long. I'm like, okay, yeah, fine, whatever. Lucci gave another word of knowledge to somebody else. And I was still sitting there and then I'm like, oh, no, I'm sick of this. I shouldn't tolerate this. And I went up and I could only like move to there. And I can move it all the way down now. And there's a screw in there. Yeah. So the screw was like stopping it. And now I can get right down.
That's amazing. That is so amazing. Wow. Praise God. I had someone else actually write to me during the week saying that their child also had an issue with their little finger and the Holy Spirit would touch them. So praise God. Isn't that beautiful? Now, if there is a word of knowledge and you feel like, oh, someone else got that breakthrough, that's amazing. That's an amazing healing. Praise God. That's very cool. But you can, God's not limited to just one person. I've even seen it with the prophetic. Someone's getting this amazing prophetic word and he can be ministering at the same time with the same word to somebody else. So don't limit the Father. Take it all and receive it all because he is more wonderful and more loving than we could ever understand. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you for sharing your testimonies. People have been writing to us during the week saying they've had someone else had an issue with their head and the Holy Spirit has done such a significant work that all the issues that they had this week have just completely gone. And another young lady that she had to sit with her leg up and be helped up the stairs because she couldn't even put weight on her ankle. And she got healed and she got saved at the end of the service as the Lord touched her and she was doing ballet moves with her ankle that was previously unable to even support any weight. So just beautiful. Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the thanks for the great things that you've done. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You know, you need to be looking and waiting to hear the voice of God for yourself. He wants to speak to you, and he can speak to you in so many different ways. If you look with an expectation to find, look with an expectation to see him. And, you know, even this week, I had on Thursday, I try to take a day where I try not to do too much work and just spend some time with the Lord. And I went for a walk on the beach. And as I'm walking on the beach, I noticed there was a little pearl here. And then there's another little pearl. And for about 100 meters, there were all these little pearls. Looks like someone had broken a necklace or a bracelet or something. And I thought, oh, I'll pick up all these pearls because I don't want the fish to eat them. If they're plastic pearls, or I don't know if they're real or plastic, but you know, they had a little hole through them, so they'd obviously come from something. So as I'm walking along, I'm picking up these pearls. Felt the Lord say, count them. So I counted them all, and there was 23. And I felt the Lord speak to me out of Psalm 23 and just say, I am restoring souls. Where there's been irritations, because pearls are caused by irritations. And I'm cleaning it up and I'm bringing it. And I want my people to recognize that I want to restore their soul. I see it. I care about it. And that he holds us so closely. You might think, well, that's not God.
Well, it might not be for you, but on that day, I felt like, yes, God, I'm listening. You can hear the voice of God in multiple ways, but he'll always lead you back to the Word of God. He'll always lead you to find him, to seek him, to know him. You know, as I was reading this week, and for those of you who've been following along, I'm going very slowly through the Word of God, and I've been making a little personal list, wanting to know God better. As I'm reading the Word of God, my goal is I want to know you, Father. I want to know you, Lord. And so I've been making my own little list of what does God value? What's important to the Lord? And as I've been working my way through the Word of God, I finished this week the book of Joshua. And fascinating to watch how the Lord led them. Fascinating to watch how the Lord revealed himself to Joshua. And we shared last week a little bit from Joshua chapter 5, where after the people had consecrated themselves, they had done circumcision because it hadn't been done in the wilderness, Joshua saw a man standing with a flaming sword. And the Bible says there in Joshua 5, he looked up and he saw. And when he saw, he went out to him. You know, God is wanting you to look up, to be alert, to be aware that God wants to speak to you. Look up, be alert, be aware, and be looking for him to speak. Be ready for him to speak. And then when he speaks, take the time to go and investigate. Go and listen. If you think, oh, is that me? Is that God? 23 pearls? I don't know. Is it 20? Maybe. Go and read the psalm. If the Lord, if you think maybe it's him, maybe it's not, read anyway, find out anyway. Take the time to come to him and to look. And because Joshua came to him, the Lord spoke to him. It's a lot like Moses when he saw the bush that was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. The Bible says when he turned and he gave his attention to the burning bush, or the bush that was burning and not being consumed, then the Lord spoke to him out of the bush. You know, we've got to be careful when we start to recognize, I think something supernatural is happening, I think he's speaking, that we don't just run off and go, well, that was cool, but that we actually take the time to turn and look and give our attention to what we feel the Lord is saying, or what we feel like the Lord is doing, to look more, to seek more. Seek and you will find. He's drawing us. Hallelujah. He doesn't force you. He doesn't force feed you, but he causes you to think, oh, I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep looking, because he wants you to find. And he loves your heart when it's postured with a desire to know him. So Joshua went out and he said, are you for us or for our enemies? And this man that was standing there with the flaming sword said, no. And he said, but as commander of the Lord's armies, I come. And Joshua suddenly recognized, this is the Lord. And he got in his face and he worshipped. And for me, it was such an interesting picture that after they had taken the step of circumcising themselves, of intentionally making sure that they were walking in his ways, that they had surrendered, that they had acknowledged God, you are Lord, that the Lord then revealed himself to Joshua. And in revealing himself, Joshua was no longer with the idea of, I hope God's on our side. He had a mindset shift where he recognized, actually, we're on his side, that we're on his team, that everything we do is about him. It's not about him blessing our mission or him blessing my call or my destiny. It's about us recognizing that it's not about us at all. It's about him. And then recognizing him and acknowledging his lordship, the Lord comes in his covenant love. And he then throughout scripture says, and I am for you.
I am on your side. I am for you. I am on your side. Over and over again. You think, well, that's contradictory. No. When you come into covenant, the Lord comes and he is more faithful than you can ever be. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. Hallelujah. He is our protector. He is our keeper. He is fierce in his love for us, this magnificent God. And we've been talking too about Romans chapter 12 and the beauty of responding to God's marvelous mercies by bringing our lives as living sacrifices, bringing daily coming before the Lord and acknowledging, God, my life is not my own. Like Joshua, you're God, you're the king, my life belongs to you. And as we surrender, as we give our lives to him, as we daily allow him to help us renew our minds by the washing of the word, as we come before him and ask for his help, acknowledge that we need him, as we come with a posture of surrender, the Holy Spirit will help you to live a life that is beautiful and pleasing and satisfying in his eyes. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pick it up tonight in Psalm 72. In fact, I'll read it from the Passion Translation because I love it here. I think it's beautiful. Psalm 72, verse 6. Your favor will fall like rain upon our surrendered lives, like showers reviving the earth. In the days of his reign, the righteous will spring forth with the abundance of peace and prosperity forevermore. This is a promise for us. The Lord says that his favor will fall like rain upon our surrendered lives, like showers reviving the earth. In the days of his reign, the righteous will spring forth with the abundance of peace and prosperity. What he's telling us is that when we willingly adopt this posture of, God, I surrender me and my dreams and me and my ambitions and me and my ideas, and I come as a living sacrifice today saying, help. Thank you for your mercy. God, I want to glorify you. My life's mission, my whole life is that you would be glorified. I want to glorify you. Because when we see him, that is what our hearts cry out. When Joshua saw him and recognized who he was, the response was worship. Worship that wants to give him glory. And this is what the Holy Spirit continuously wants to do for us. Provoke us to give him glory. I want to give you glory. And as you daily come with this desire, God, I want my life to be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. God, I want my mind to be continually renewed by your word. I don't want to be conformed to the pattern of the world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Help me, Father, that I might live a life that is pleasing and satisfying to you, Lord God. When we come with that heart posture, the Holy Spirit will help you. And that posture isn't a religious striving, isn't a legalistic, I'm trying to die to myself. Man, I did that for years, trying to die to myself. I just came to the conclusion, passionate people die really hard. Was my like, trying to die to myself, it's still wriggling. And then someone tried to encourage me. They said, it's like trying to crucify yourself. You go, get one hand done and your feet, but then you'd still have the other arm flapping, you know? And that's what the church is for, they told me. That's not true. There's a difference between a legalistic striving to drive. I'm trying to die to my flesh. I mean, Martin Luther went through that. He tried everything. He whipped himself till he bled and he'd go out in the snow and try, I'm trying to kill this flesh. I want to kill him. And his monk brothers would have to drag him back in half frozen before he died. And he still didn't feel like he had died to self until he finally got a revelation of justification by grace. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. But recognizing the beauty of being free from that, the striving need to try to impress God with our sacrifice, we then have a response to his marvelous mercy by freely laying our lives down in faith, believing that even in our weakness, he will help me. God, I come, Lord, not trying to impress you with my sacrifice. As a young woman trying to impress God and trying to die to self, I'd make all these vows. I'll never do this, or I'll never do that, or I'll give this up. I remember one day someone gave me a compliment about my hair. They said, "You got nice hair." And that night I'm like, "God, if I'm vain, I'll give up my hair. I'll cut it all off, God." You know, because I had this religious idea that I got to make sure I please God with something. You know, I can't really please God unless I'm really hurting. It's got to hurt to make him happy. Anybody ever had these ideas? That's actually not the heart of the Father. In fact, the Father spoke to me and he said, "I like your hair. I gave it to you. You can keep it. Thank you, Father." I think Tom was quite pleased about that too. Hallelujah. But I say that just to say I recognize and know the voice of religion that would try to make you say, "Come on, try harder, do something, or give up something else. Hey, you like that? You'll have to give that up. You'll have to give this up." And then doing that, you still don't feel worthy because you're caught in a cycle of striving, trying to impress God. That is not what a surrendered life really looks like. That is still empowering and giving life to self-righteousness and pride. But if instead you come and you get honest and say, "God, I haven't got anything to impress you. God, I am humbled at the Son of God who was crucified between thieves for me. Thank you for having mercy on me today. Thank you for your mercy for me. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. God, I come in my weakness and my lack of understanding. I come seeing through a glass dimly and I give what I know to give. Here's my heart, God. I come today in faith as a living sacrifice. I make no vows. I just come, Lord God, saying, thank you, and this is my reasonable response to your mercy. Lord, I thank you. I surrender my life today." And in doing so, the love of God will help you. He'll speak to you, and he will help you walk and become transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can have a little look at that scripture just in case you've forgotten it. There in Romans chapter 12. It's so beautiful. But he helps us as we do this. It says here, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, not your spiritual achievement. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And it's the grace of God. He goes on and says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith." And we come in humility before the Lord as our reasonable service. "God, I give you my life." But in doing so, the Holy Spirit, I've discovered this, that when you come with this genuine heart desire, this genuine posture, as you make room for God, as you give over, "God, I surrender," he will begin to help you recognize areas that you've held on to that you didn't even know you were holding on to. He'll help you see areas where you are not acknowledging him as Lord, and thereby not living in the fullness and the abundance of peace and blessing that he wants to give you. I've been loving this journey as the Holy Spirit has been reviving and awakening my own heart as I'm coming before Him, putting my life on the altar, as I've been talking about all year, bringing things to the altar, as I'm bringing myself as a living sacrifice. By the mercy of God, I'm starting to see areas where, God, I didn't even realize that I'm sorry, I haven't asked you about that. I didn't ask you to help me or to show me. Oh, sorry, God. Thanks for helping me see that. It would be so much more fruitful and productive and helpful if I actually asked what you want to do in those situations next time. But it's in His light that we see light. As we come into the light, as we surrender ourselves, He gives more light. And as you see more light, you recognize, hey, I can make more room for God to come in and give me the abundance of peace to release the blessing of God. I find that He makes room in my heart by helping me see even things that I hadn't seen before, judgments I'd had about people from when I was young, that I go, oh, I'd never even recognized that I was holding on to that. I'm sorry, God. And that feels good. Or, oh, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your help. Not in a way where it seems like, oh, now I'm coming into condemnation. I've been down those roads and they don't lead to anywhere good. Examining myself and trying to figure out, am I, oh, there's nothing good in me. That's actually not living as the righteous by faith. Faith pleases God, not your own introspection. But as you come surrendering, here it is, God, I don't even know what I need, but I give you my life, He'll help you. He'll gently lead you. You know, the Bible says a smoldering wick He won't snuff out, or a bruised reed He doesn't break. Often when you are in that posture where you're tempted to beat up on yourself, you're in a posture of a bruised reed, and God's not there wanting you to beat up on yourself. He's there to help you, to lift you up, to strengthen you, to encourage you. But I believe we are in a glorious season of revival and awakening where the Holy Spirit is making room. He is helping you enlarge your capacity for His lordship to be acknowledged in every area of your life. And it's beautiful. It's freedom. Hallelujah. It's what real freedom looks like. Instead of living in the tension of my heart wants you to be Lord, but I'm still wrestling and holding on to things that I don't even recognize I'm holding on to. If you'll just take the first step and say, Lord, I bring myself as a living sacrifice, the Holy Spirit will help you by renewing your mind, by giving you light to see truth that makes you free. And as He led the Israelites into the promised land and said, I'm not going to give it all to you at once because you wouldn't be able to take care of it. You're going to drive it out bit by bit. In the same way, as we grow in God, bit by bit, He enlarges our territory. He gives us grace to be able to recognize things that have been stealing from us, the little foxes that are trying to spoil the vine. He helps us recognize things so that we can increase and increase in enjoying the freedom and the blessing that God wants to pour out into our lives. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh God, that you would give us grace to respond to you. Psalm 72 says that He will bring refreshing rain. In fact, as you look at that word, it's talking about upon the freshly mown grass, and that instead of us coming before Him and just as we are, but unwilling to deal with things, as we come before Him and respond to the Holy Spirit saying, why don't you give me lordship over that? Why don't you let me help you with that? When we do that, we are cooperating with the vine dresser. We're cooperating with the one who wants to help us be renewed and refreshed to receive the rain in a way that's going to cause us to sprout up and to become new. We read about the pruning, and nobody seems to like pruning. I'm like, oh, I don't like pruning, God. But if you will listen to his voice and allow him to help bring the adjustments, as you'll allow him to help you recognize things, the process is a whole lot less painful. If I've learned one thing about the process that I could give you, could I give you some personal encouragement just from a lot of years? I'm 53 now. I got converted when I was 12. Here's my sagely advice. Give up quick. He's more patient than you'll ever be. And you might as well just let him do it. Just surrender quick. Okay, because his ways are better than my ways. His thoughts are better than my thoughts. And his ways are always for my good. Hallelujah. Anybody else walked a little bit with the Lord and would agree with me in this? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen to the men and women of God who have gone before you. Just surrender quickly. For he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth in the days the righteous shall flourish, an abundance of peace until the moon is no more. The refreshing rain of God that will come on a surrendered life, on a heart that says, yes, God, yes, you can have that. Yes, I acknowledge your ways are better than my ways. Your yes, God, help me. He will help you, and not only will he help you, the Lord will never take something away without replacing it with more than you can emotionally or physically handle. The blessing of God brings life and life more abundant. As you cannot outgive God. So if you give him your life, he gives you his life. God changed my life. I was so insecure and so full of so much baggage and problems, but the Holy Spirit set me free. In my book, Living in the Miraculous, I share my testimony of how the Lord took me from shame and insecurity into the place of his love and holy confidence. I believe he wants to do the same with you. So today, let the Holy Spirit help you. I pray that my book, Living in the Miraculous, will encourage you to receive the same gift of grace and healing that God wants to give to you.